You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Welcome to It Could Happen Here, a podcast that's being done for the first time and not the second time because we had mic problems.
We did record a very funny intro that is now completely lost to time.
You'll never hear it. You'll never know what great fun we had.
The joy was in the creation, though, not in the sharing. So.
Yeah.
Process, not an event, structure, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
So I'm Mia. I'm a doing this episode. Also, Garrison is here. Hello.
Hi.
And also James.
Hi. I'm recording, so we're good now.
The good news is stunningly, as much as it seems, we are now more prepared to record this episode than we were last time. So.
Yeah. Well, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about? We are talking about the age of the gender bureaucrat. So. As people are probably aware, there is a raft of anti-trans bills sweeping through state legislatures. The latest of these bills to pass as of time of recording is a bill in Utah, which has banned minors from getting gender-affirming care, like hormone therapy, hormone blockers, and any kind of gender-affirming surgery for anyone who's not already receiving them.
Does the Utah one also ban, like, therapy? Like, talk therapy?
No, but so on the one hand, it doesn't ban talk therapy. On the other hand, there's a provision in there that I think might also suggest that people do conversion therapy. So that's great. Cool. It fucking sucks ass. Kids are going to die because of this bill. The people who are writing and signing these bills know that kids are going to die. We know this because Utah's Governor Spencer Cox, who is the guy who signed the bill, vetoed an earlier ban on trans athletes participating in school sports, specifically citing the risk of suicide. So he knows this is going to kill kids. He signs this anyways. And we are now living in what I call the age of the gender bureaucrat. We're going to have another episode later on where we spend a lot of time going through all of the individual bills and the stuff Trump's been saying about this, because Jesus Christ.
Pretty grim stuff that they're, I mean, on the one hand, making trans people out to be the boogeyman did not work in their favor greatly in the midterms, but it seems like they are not trying to, change their tactics here. They are still going all in based on Trump's speech from a few days ago of using the transgender menace as the greatest threat to America and the nuclear family. So we'll see how that goes for them, like, electorally, but it's pretty bad rhetoric to see flying around.
Yep.
I think it does really well with the people who are loud and like you often see this in like primaries, right? Like people push to the limits of their party because that plays well with the most politicized people. And for sure, if you're going to a Trump rally, what, like 3 years after he got kicked out,
yeah,
you are also a bigot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before we do that, I want to take a look at the sort of bureaucratic grounding for this entire thing. And to do that, we need to look at gender bureaucrats and the American gender bureaucracy. So I'm going to cite my sources a bit and say that I stole this from an incredibly unlikely source, which is the Maoist review of Shrek 2.
What? Wait, stop.
Wait, yeah,
stop.
Yeah. Never speak those words again.
This is the Maoist review of Shrek 2 is one of the three great sort of texts of American Maoism. There's this one, there's Towards a Protracted People's War in the Florida Everglades, and then there's that time the RCP got into a fight with the PSL and they were both trying to grab each other's signs. Amazing. Amazing stuff. But unfortunately, you know, having come up with the term gender bureaucrat, which is incredibly useful, they're Maoist, so they're constitutionally and politically just unable to understand what a bureaucrat is. So I have now stolen this term and I'm using it for other purposes.
Reappropriate.
No, it's stealing. They're Maoists. It's never wrong to steal from Maoists.
Okay. Fine.
So, All right, getting back sort of to some more serious stuff, to understand what this is, I want to talk about sort of the term assigned gender at birth. This used to be a fairly common kind of in circles to like refer to people as like AMAB or AFAB, so like assigned male at birth or assigned female at birth. And it kind of sucks as a term. It's been replaced by other stuff. But I think there's something important here, which is I want to go back and look at the assigned part. And I want to look at specifically the part about the gender being assigned, because I think there's something that gets lost in sort of popular discussions of this, which is that when people think about like the term, like the assignment of gender, right, they think about it as something that's created socially, right? They think about it as, you know, people being like pressured to perform one kind of gender or another by the people around them, sort of by their families, by just like people walking down the street. And this is all true. But there's also something else going on here. That something else going on here is we need to ask ourselves, when we talk about someone's gender being assigned, who is it being assigned by? Because this is an actual specific person, right? The person who actually assigns your gender is a doctor, or sometimes a nurse or a midwife. And this person is the first gender bureaucrat. They're the first gender bureaucrat because they are the person who sits down and puts down what your gender is on a form. Now, okay, you may be asking yourself, right, Mia, why should anyone care that your gender is now on a piece of paper?
Well, because and also maybe like they're also mainly, at least, you know, in like a medical scientific sense, it's mainly like, oh, what parts do you have, and then using those parts as a carryover for gender, as that's been modeled after ever since we stopped dressing boys and girls in dresses and all the same clothing when they're young.
Yeah, we'll get into sort of like how this has sort of changed over time. But okay, to understand why this actually matters, I think we need to talk about what bureaucracy actually is, because this is a thing that used to be fairly common to talk about on the left, and then people have stopped doing over the past maybe like half decade. The anthropologist David Graeber wrote extensively about bureaucracy throughout his career. Probably his most famous book is one of his later works called Bullshit Jobs. But I want to go back to an earlier thing that he wrote called The Utopia of Rules. I'm going to read a little bit of one of the first sections of it. Bureaucratic knowledge is all about schematization. In practice, bureaucratic procedure invariably means ignoring all the subtleties of real life existence and reducing everything to preconceived mechanical or statistical formula. Whether it's a matter of forms, rules, statistics, or questionnaires, it is always a matter of simplification. Typically, it's not very different from the boss who walks into the kitchen to make an arbitrary snap decision as to what went wrong. In either case, it is a matter of applying very simple pre-existing templates to complex and often ambiguous situations. The result often leaves those forced to deal with bureaucratic administration with the impression that they are dealing with people who have, for some arbitrary reason, decided to put on a set of glasses that only allows them to see 2% of what's in front of them. So, and you know, we can see some of the core aspects of bureaucracy here, right? Bureaucracy inherently is an act of simplification, because of sort of the technical systems of what a bureaucracy is, and because of how it stores information, how it moves information around. it can only see the world in incredibly sort of simplified terms.
Yeah, it has to like abstract these things and then make assumptions based off those abstractions in order to have any type of functionality.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Graeber later says that like this, you know, okay, on the one hand, like the sort of simplification and model making that goes on in a bureaucracy can be really, really frustrating when you have to interact with it. But on the other hand, you know, so the reduction of the complex to the simple, it's not just, you know, a thing that's inherently evil in and of itself. It's the basis of all thought. Because, you know, like we actually can't, like in and of ourselves, process the world by immediately holding in our minds all of the information at one time, right? The way we understand the world is simplifications of models.
Yeah, we it's pattern recognition, recreating recursive thought loops that give us the very concept of meaning, and like that's how we know what words are.
Yeah,
and
you know,
Jordan Peterson.
Well,
so true.
You know, it's also possible to take a lot of data and make nonsense out of it. This is a field called economics.
Marketing, yeah.
But yeah, you know, okay, so. This is also the basis of all social theory, right? Like, all social theory is about taking a bunch of incredibly complicated, like, and messy relationships and just statistical stuff and just the noise of people doing things in their everyday lives and trying to establish sort of like ways of understanding them. And you know, this in some sense is a kind of violence, right? It's a violence of simplification. But on the other hand, you know, the violence you're doing to reality here bears more resemblance to sort of like Bakunin's creative destruction, right? You're imposing a kind of violence on reality, you know, in simplifying and destroying a bunch of aspects of it so you can understand just like one part of it at a time. But, you know, this is a useful thing, right? It's how we think. Like we literally couldn't do anything without it. But as Graeber puts it, the problems arise at the moment that violence is no longer metaphorical. Here, let me turn from imaginary cops to real ones. Jim Cooper, a former LAPD officer turned sociologist, has observed that the overwhelming majority of those who end up getting beaten or otherwise brutalized by police turn out to be innocent of any crime. Cops don't beat up burglars, he writes. The reason, he explained, is simple. The one thing most guaranteed to provoke a violent reaction from police is a challenge to their right to, as he puts it, define the situation.
Yep.
That is to say...
Yeah, that perfectly describes any physical interaction with police. Like, you know, absolutely.
This is one of the things I like about Graeber, this is something that I noticed when I was in academia, is it is very, very easy to tell who, like, when you're reading a social theorist talking about stuff, like, who has been tear gassed before and who hasn't?
Who has actually
dealt with a cop?
I'm always reminded when we talk about, like, academics who have a real fucking life of that picture of Edward Said throwing stones at the IDF. Single most based academic thing anyone has done.
Yeah, and like Graeber, I think has been tear gassed on 5 continents or something that. Like he's gotten around. He's done a lot of stuff. Yeah,
it is always nice whenever these types of theorists who, like, you know, they often will philosophize about like the nature of power, the nature of the state, and sometimes it can get a little bit wishy washy. And it's nice when there's people who do that who also know like the material reality of like power. and how that transfers on, how the philosophy of power transfers over to street politics is always always an interesting difference to compare various theory to.
In 2020, I was teaching a world history course, and obviously it's remote because of the pandemic, right? So like, we would just log in the morning, like fully aware that I had seen and been tear gassed with some of my students the night before, and then just discussed like how the state has a monopoly on violence. People would be like, "Yeah, well, that fucking lines up. Like, looks like you've got a massive bruise again." It was very instructive, and everyone should do it in their history classes.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to keep reading from this quote because there's a couple more things I want to get out of this.
Cool.
So he's talking about how like you get a violent reaction from challenging their right to define the situation. That is to say, no, this isn't a possible crime situation. This is a citizen who pays your salary walking his dog situation, so shove off. Let alone the invariably disastrous, wait, why are you handcuffing that guy? He didn't do anything.
True.
It's talking back above all that inspires beatdowns and means challenging whatever administrative rubric, an orderly or disorderly crowd, a properly or improperly registered vehicle, has been applied by the officer's discretionary judgment. The police truncheon is precisely the point where the state's bureaucratic imperative for imposing simple administrative schema and its monopoly on coercive force come together. It only makes sense, then, that bureaucratic violence should consist first and foremost on attacks on those who insist on alternative schemas or interpretations. At the same time, if one accepts Jean Piaget's famous definition of mature intelligence as the ability to coordinate between multiple perspectives or possible perspectives, one can see here precisely how bureaucratic power, at the moment it turns to violence, becomes literally a form of infantile stupidity.
Yeah, it is this weird, like, childlike sense. That is an interesting combination of thoughts.
That's a fantastic Graeber passage.
I love it. It's just reading this book is like one of the things that like really sort of like committed me to anarchism because it's a book that actually takes violence seriously while talking about bureaucracy, which is something that really doesn't.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a good critique, and we kind of have lost it over the years.
I feel like we've gotten into arguments about this sort of thing when discussing the usefulness of like Foucault's theories about power and how power functions. You've definitely brought up this passage before, talking about how the extent of that is always measured by where the truncheon is hitting. On the actual street level.
Yeah, but Graeber isn't writing about gender here, really, right? He's mostly writing about sort of direct police violence. Although, I mean, it is worth noting that like all of the stuff that he's writing is informed by sort of specifically by actual critical race theory and by sort of like feminist standpoints theory stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you look back at this, right, and you look back at sort of the point at which the state's bureaucratic imperative for imposing simple administrative schemes and the monopoly on force come together, or specifically the parts that are about. Right. Like the way you get a violent reaction is by being something that a bureaucrat thinks you're not.
Yeah.
It's
challenging their version of reality. It's challenging the validity of their perception of reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you think about this for about 5 seconds, if you're a trans person, that's not good because a bureaucrat has already assigned you a gender at birth. And if you're not that gender, things are going to get really bad really quickly.
Well, do you know what bureaucracies are actually worthwhile and things that you should definitely consider greatly is all of the bureaucracies that support the products and services that fund this podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Well, I hope you enjoy your five new bars of gold. Thank you for supporting the show. We are back. Let's talk about gender and the bureaucracy that seeks to contain it.
Violence.
Yeah,
so,
sure. Yeah.
You know, if you are, for example, intersex, the point at which the state's bureaucratic imperative for imposing simple administrative schema and its monopoly on coercive force comes together is on the operating table of the hospital where you're born. You know, first a doctor assigns you a fucking gender, which is never intersex, by the way. The doctor just decides whether you're male or female and then, you know, puts that gender on your birth certificate. It's technically possible in some places to get it changed to intersex later in life. But when I say it's technically possible, there might even more people who've done it. The first person who we know ever changed their gender to intersex did it in 2017.
Wow.
So, yeah,
I'm sure there were pre-bureaucracy indigenous societies. I know there
Yes,
oh, absolutely.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
But this is I mean, like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, and this is another, like, the way that, like, we treat intersex people also has gotten worse. And we're gonna get into this too, but it's like you know, this is a very, like, it's a very obvious thing where there's clearly more than two genders, and how society reacts to that, I think, says, you know, it's an enormous sort of, like, it's something that enormously impacts intersex people, right? Like, you know, you have, like, an incredible amount of violence that is inflicted onto them, and then secondly, the way intersex people is dealt with, it's something that reveals a lot about how the society is going to look at gender and how society is going to look at the enforcement of gender.
I think on the point of how, in a lot of ways, the treatment of intersex people has gotten worse in the past, like, few hundred years. I feel like as the bureaucracy grows, amount of violence that is necessary to maintain it also grows.
Yep.
And the bigger... Any small thing threatens the validity of the entire bureaucracy, so they have to come down hard on anything that is deviant from that, because they need to maintain the validity of the system that they have built. I think that's definitely an aspect.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's really, really bad is that, you know, we're going to talk about this more a bit later, but, like, the actual capacity of the bureaucracy to enforce this stuff has increased so dramatically, even in the past 50 years. It is, like... Like, the U.S. is to someone living in 1890, right? The modern U.S. is an incomprehensibly bureaucratic society. It is the most sort of, like, totalitarian Stalinist bureaucrat, like, looks at the U.S. and is like, "What the fuck, guys? You guys have taken bureaucracy too far."
Like, even just, like, the surveillance capacity is.
Oh, he definitely would. Like, he would have loved that. Well, to be fair, the East Germans did really well with what they had, but
I think, like, it's really. I think also
just in terms of how surveillance impacts the way you're able to do gender when you're
this is the thing
getting targeted advertisements for stuff based on your internet searches. They're like that's one side of it, and. There's other sides of it in terms of, like, you know, people seeking to make like different gender presentations illegal. How that type of surveillance will eventually lead into pretty draconian stuff.
I think in a lot of ways, like, the violence that is done to intersex kids is sort of is one of the sort of origin points of this, right? I want to sort of get into what this is a little bit. Since the 1960s, and again, I'm saying this, like, this stuff is kind of recent, right? Mm-hmm. Doctors have started commonly performing non-consensual surgery on intersex kids to force them to conform to a gender. Here's from a 2013 report from the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture that's cited by Human Rights Watch. Children who are born with atypical sex characteristics are often subject to irreversible sex assignment, involuntary sterilization, involuntary genital normalization surgery, performed without their informed consent or that of the parents in an attempt, quote, in an attempt to fix their sex, leaving them with permanent irreversible infertility and causing severe mental suffering. And this is fucking horrible. It happens all the time, and on all of the people who write these fucking laws that are, like, giving someone gender affirming care is, like, mutilating them, specifically carve out sections so that doctors can keep fucking doing this to intersex kids, and it's horrible.
It's really interesting how, like, so often the sports field is a terrain where this kind of gets hashed out, or like this brutality happens for the first time. Like, the sports governing authorities have been fucking brutalizing intersex athletes for 50 yep. years now. And every time it's because, yeah, they'll put forth an argument and then lose in court most of the time, because they'll seek to advance like a very narrow definition of gender based on chromosomality or something, or testosterone levels or something. And then demonstrably this binary doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then they'll lose, and they'll respond to losing by fucking destroying that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, there are plenty of cases people can find in history of that happening. And yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah. And I think the more I've been thinking about this, the more I think that the sort of like, that a lot of what turfism is this kind of like, it's attempting to take the bureaucratic categories as literal truth, but that doesn't work. It doesn't actually work on a sort of, either on a scientific level or on a sort of more philosophical level, because again, what that sort of bureaucratic assignment is a radical simplification of reality that destroys reality itself in order to create a sort of like an M or an F on a page. And when you try to go back into the real world, that shit doesn't work. It only works when you can enforce it with violence.
Turfs do be loving to enforce gender with violence.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, and this entire thing is sort of this is the basis of the sort of the American gender bureaucracy, right? It's inherently violent. It's not just sort of a procedure for recording what your gender is. It always sort of has been, and is increasingly more so now, becoming a system that imposes a gender on you. You know, and there's also a lot of ways that this bureaucracy gets imposed on you that are, you know, less extreme. You know, if we go back to the question of like, who are you assigned a gender for? Right, you're assigned a gender for the state, and you know, almost everything in your life depends on these bureaucratic documents, because that's how the state understands you as a person, by these bureaucratic documents, like specifically birth certificates, but also things like driver's licenses, social security cards.
And passports, immigration papers.
Yeah, I mean, like here's the American Bar Association talking about birth certificates. They are so common that we might even overlook their significance. In the United States, birth certificates serve as a proof of an individual's age, citizenship status, and identity. They are necessary to obtain social security, apply for a passport, enroll in schools, get a driver's license, gain employment, or apply for other benefits. Humanitarian Desmond Tutu described the birth certificate as, quote, a small paper, but it actually establishes who you are and gives access to the rights and privileges and the obligations of citizenship. You know, and I think Desmond Tutu is being enormously optimistic about sort of what it means to be seen by the state here. Because the other thing that it does is it exposes you to the state's violence in a way mm-hmm. where, you know, it now the state, like this is the mechanism through which it now knows who you are. Right.
So does not having one. Like,
yep. Yeah.
It's when the sovsids try to not have birth certificates for their children. State gets real violent.
And this is the thing. One of the things I hear about this is that, like, you know, OK, you used to be able to, like, get away with not having birth certificates. Right. Like a lot of Americans used to not. But one of the things that happens over the course of World War II is there's this enormous expansion in the state's bureaucratic capacity. And there's an expansion in the state's bureaucratic capacity because it has to, you know, it has to go to war. But simultaneously, this is something that didn't have to happen, but did, is that you get the army and you get employers starting to ask people's birth certificates. But like, people don't have them because, like, I don't know. Why the fuck do I need a record of me being born? Right? Like, this is never a thing you need. It's only a thing the state needs.
Yeah. It's interesting to look at, like, I was just thinking about how, like, this is also where the kind of front line of colonialism happens.
Yeah.
Like the enforcement of a binary gender on indigenous people. Like, you can look at specific individuals. Oshtish is one of them. They were a Crow person from the Crow Nation who, like, fought for the United States as a scout. Was what's called a Bade, and then was, like, in later life kind of forced to conform to a binary gender with which they didn't identify, and they hadn't lived that way. And because they had to, having been assigned identity papers to live on a reservation, you have to tick one of the fucking boxes.
Yeah, and, you know, and the thing about those fucking boxes, right, is, you know, even, like, to this day, there are a lot of states where you can't change your gender. Like, you can't change what it says in the fucking card. You just can't.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they've assigned you a gender that's not your gender, then, well, tough luck. They have a monopoly on the legitimate use of force, and you don't. You know, and there's other states where you need a fucking court order saying that you've had surgery in order to get the fucking, like, you know, in order to change your bureaucratic person. And again, the reason for this is, and I cannot emphasize this enough, fuck you. That is the reason for this. I want to go back also to, you know, look a bit more about sort of the bureaucratic effects. I'm going to read from an IEEE piece about a trans guy in the UK in the 50s. From the start, the sensationalized press coverage of Ferguson's transition focused on some surprisingly quotidian elements. Quote, change of sex puts him in a different employment category with a raise in salary, reported one newspaper, underscoring the fact that being reclassified as male in the eyes of his employer, the British government, tied into a complex network of gendered economic and labor discrimination. In fact, not only did his pay change, but his whole job category changed, even though he was doing exactly the same work under the same conditions. This was because women workers were not simply paid less, but also kept in feminized job grades in the civil service, despite the government's claims that service was a meritocracy. A question raised in Parliament by an MP who had heard about Ferguson demanded to know what form and number of proofs, other than a mere announcement by the subject, they misgendered them a couple times, is required before a female, quote, like civil servant is permitted to obtain a higher salary in a different employment category owing to a change in sex. By gaining a, quote, official change, Jonathan Ferguson suddenly transformed into chief experimental officer with a male breadwinner's salary large enough to support a family rather than a woman's lower wage that was expected to be supplemental to a family's earnings. For obvious reasons, noted the Treasury, we should not have to say anything which would have led to a request for the male pay rate to be applied from his date of entry to the civil service. In other words, the Treasury wanted to ensure that Ferguson did not try to claim back wages.
Incredible. So,
Turf Island always been very normal. I want to read a little bit more of this. Conversely, a different civil servant, this time a trans woman, who was working in the Admiralty Department and transitioning around the same time, was advised it was in her, quote, interest to delay official recognition of the change until at least January 1960, assuming full equal pay in the civil service is introduced by 1961. Her employers wrote that it was in her, quote, own interest, in their opinion, to continue wearing men's clothing for the time being in order to avoid a significant reduction in pay.
That is, it's funny because, like, it's not funny, it's fucked up and it's stupid, isn't it? But, like, I knew trans people in Britain who would have grown up around this time who, like, socially transitioned after retirement.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, openly to, you know, we weren't, like, BFFs or anything. But it's absolutely fucking insane that, like, that this argument was deployed.
Yeah, and you know, and you can see what's sort of going on here, which is that, like, you know, it's more explicitly obvious in here than it is in a lot of other cases, but your status in the gender bureaucracy is a key element of how you're able to extract resources from the state. And, you know, sometimes that's literally just an explicit pay gap, like it was based on institutional sexism. But, you know, I think the second case is in a lot of ways more revealing, right? The state and its gender bureaucracy is very explicitly saying, conform to what the bureaucracy says your gender is, and you'll get paid more. And if you don't, you'll get paid less. And if you look at this more abstractly, right, in order to interface with the state, in order to extract welfare benefits, in order to pay your fucking taxes, in order to drive, in order to buy alcohol, apparently now in order to buy the stupid cleaning bottles you use of compressed air that you have to use to clean out your computer keyboards, in order to buy alcohol, in order to get on an airplane, you have to conform to the state's bureaucratic view of you. And if you don't, you can't do it. And you know, this brings up the question, what right does the state have to assign my gender? And, you know, the state will spit out a variety of sort of like pseudo-medical and pseudo-political explanations. But the answer is that the state has no right to tell you what your gender is except force. And, you know, the extent to which the state has actually been able to sort of do this kind of stuff has changed over time. We've talked about this a bit, but what, like, you know, over the course of sort of Over the course of sort of the 20th century, and you know, we can also look at things like we can look at the war on terror, we can look at neoliberalism and David Graeber's Iron Law of Liberalism, which is the Iron Law of Liberalism states that any market reform, any government initiative intended to reduce red tape and promote market forces will have the ultimate effect of increasing the total number of regulations, the total amount of paperwork, and the total number of bureaucrats the government employs. Which I always love, but you know, like we've seen the sort of consequences of this playing out over the course of you know the last about a century, right? If you go back to the 1890s, it was possible for basically private citizens to have just full on wars with each other in parts of the U.S., and the government would just be like, sure, okay, whatever. Like the people mining bird shit off of the coast of California are shooting each other with cannons again, like whatever. Right, like it's not really until the 20th century, and really even in like the last 50 60 70 years, there's been a massive expansion of this, that like the state actually has full territorial control over everywhere that it claims to have control of, right? We are just now getting to a place where the police can actually, you know, like have like militarily hold the entire country at one time. And even then, they can only do it as long as people sort of cooperate with them. But, you know, this is really bad if you are a person who the bureaucracy has deemed to be something else. Or, and this is another, you know, another sort of angle on this, right? Like, if you're someone who does not have documentation, the state very, very quickly will just attempt to destroy you. Because, you know, oh, hey, you don't have the right papers. This means the government can fucking arrest you and kick you out of the country. And, you know, this is fucking horrible. There's a lot of stuff, like there's a lot of other angles you can look at this from, right? I mean, like at some point we probably will do an episode about like the process of getting medical care and all of the people who you have to convince that you are your gender. But, you know, that's another episode entirely. What I want to get at here is that state bureaucratic power is being used by just increasingly politicized gender bureaucrats, not only to force people to comply with their sort of state mandated gender when they deal with the state, but also to force them to inhabit that gender in their private lives, which constitutes nothing less than a form of full scale gender totalitarianism. We talked about that fucking Utah bill, which, you know, again, prohibits minors from getting gender affirming surgery, puberty blockers, or hormone treatment. That is a bill that forces people to live in their state mandated gender. In Florida, gender bureaucrats are allowed to physically inspect athletes they suspect of being trans, which is to say not conforming to fucking state bureaucratic gender controls.
It's children, right? Like,
children. Like, they are allowed to molest your child because they think they're trans.
The other aspect of this is obviously this is something we've talked about before. It's something that you're starting to see with these bills, is they're trying to make the bill's age number go as high as possible.
Yep.
There's bills proposing
25 now.
21. There's bills proposing 25. Not enough. Right. So it's trying to police and control the bodily autonomy of complete adults, which obviously is not a new thing for the GOP specifically, especially in the wake of the Roe v. Wade overturning.
But
just
also
another aspect of like this goes beyond just people who are younger than the age of 19.
Yep.
This they're going to try to keep raising this as much as possible. And this is where the types of surveillance that I was talking about before is going to become a problem, because if you're Googling how to do DIY HRT and get stuff shipped in from Brazil, don't think that the surveillance stuff's not going to impact your ability to do that.
It also polices like the gender presentation of cis people, specifically cis women. I think like the people who are getting physically inspected because of these laws are just girls who are good at fucking sport. Like they're cis girls. They might be like taller or stronger anyone has the power to just be like, oh, you're not a girly enough girl. But so fucking now you get to go to the pervert room and get inspected by Matt Gaetz.
Like, you know, we see this in Texas, right? The law right now is that if the state thinks your fucking child is not sufficiently close to the gender, they can fucking take your child from you and force them to be whatever fucking gender the state wants them to be, right? And, you know, any other period in history, if you walk into a room and tell a bunch of people the state is going to decide your fucking gender, everyone would lose their goddamn minds. Yeah. This would be like this is a like unfathomable, like even in sort of like the depths of the sort of totalitarian like nightmare states, this is like an unfathomable level of sort of state bureaucratic like imposition onto people's lives. And yet, you know, it's the fucking U.S., right? We are the most bureaucratic society humanity has ever produced. Nobody thinks it's the most bureaucratic society has ever produced. And, you know, we are right now every day seeing the point at which bureaucracy meets violence.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
The last thing I have to say is that, you know, like this is the future of gender. The future of gender is government bureaucrats, whether they're cops, politicians, doctors, child protective services, or school board administrators, forcing you to be a gender that they're not. But fundamentally, they have no fucking right to do this, right? What they have is power, and their grasp on power is still right now tenuous. So, you know, it is possible to stop them from going any further than this. It is possible to beat back the power of the state, and it is possible to have a world that's not this. And we know it's possible to have a world that's not this because it wasn't fucking like this like 50 years ago. So, yeah, fuck them. And that's gender bureaucrats.
People should read David Graeber and learn about intersectionality for a fucking second.
Another great resource to learn about how you can like mix up gender stuff. There's this new video game out right now which has a pretty intense character creation selection where you can it's called Hogwarts Legacy? Is that what it's called?
Oh no! I thought you were going with Cyberpunk. What's it called?
Oh no, no.
But it has a lot of different customizations that you can do for your gender presentation and your body parts.
You know, okay. Cool. I've been refusing to do this on Twitter, but I need to take fucking 1 minute to talk about the dumbest argument anyone's ever made, which is that I have to buy this game in order to support the developers. Which, think about this for 5 seconds, right? Okay, if you have to buy this game to support the developers, don't you have to buy every other game to support their developers? In fact, are you not morally obligated to buy every single product on Earth? Because if you don't buy every single product that's ever been made, the people who made those products will not be deployed. It's bullshit. This is such a
weird, like, capitalism poisoned moment here. of thinking you're obligated to consume
lots
things.
Of people online. I have been holding my tongue on Twitter about this for months now.
Fuck them.
Watching people make the argument I have to buy something to support developers, which again, buy a different game, support those developers. Go on strike. Fucking okay, if you want to support the developers,
give your money to
cut this off.
Someone who isn't a fucking video game developer.
Well, I'm glad we could have that special bonding moment over the very inclusive gender settings inside this new hit video game. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we get an ad from them soon.
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah.
The worst Twitter day of my life is the day we get that fucking ad.
Gold presented by Hogwarts.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com. Shop now on tomboyx.com.